الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع، ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء کرام and beloved elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us another great month, the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan in reality is actually the season for change. It is an opportunity for us to rectify our lives. It is an occasion where we can gain the closeness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very easily and very simply. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, has made it such that this Mubarak month comes to us wherever we are. Wherever we are, the Mubarak month comes to us, unlike the other places of virtue like Makkah al-Mukarrama, Madinah al-Munawwara. Till a person does not reach those areas, cannot gain any benefit from the blessings of those areas. But Ramadan al-Mubarak, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaches us wherever we are, with all its blessings, with all its mercies, with all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan reaches out to us. It is now just for us to take a few steps in the right direction and mend our ways and get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the obstacles that were there, or most of the obstacles that were there between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are especially removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to come close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the way how to get close to Him, how to build up our relationship with Him, how to come onto the path of piety and righteousness. The great enemy of man, we all know, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, is the shaitan. This is the great enemy of man, and he had pledged before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And then I will come to mankind from the front and from the back and from the left and from the right, and I will lead them astray, and you will not find many of them you will not find them to be grateful for your grateful servants. I will mislead them, I will waylay them, I will divert them and take them away from the right path. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Mubarak month of Ramadan, the evil-minded shayateen are chained up. Some riwayats, some say all the shayateen. Some say the evil-minded shayateen, those that whisper into the hearts and minds of people, those that cause mischief in the ibadat of people, those that become impediment between man and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an obstruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, that here in the month of Ramadan, they are chained up for the fasting person. They are chained up, in other words, they cannot cause their mischief, and they cannot mislead you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second enemy, or the second thing that was an impediment and obstruction between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the nafs. And we know the nafs, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. It continuously commands a person to do good, to do evil and to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the job of the nafs. Except those, illa ma rahima rabbi, except those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favor upon and Allah ta'ala shows His mercy upon, then we find that nafs is there commanding us and misleading us from the right path. Here in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us fasting. And when a person is fasting, then what happens? We find that the nafs becomes weak. The nafs becomes weak, and we find that the ruh becomes strong. Person becomes spiritually strong, and the nafs becomes weak. When the nafs becomes weak, then obviously the nafs cannot command that person, does not have the strength to really mislay him and taking away. Similarly, we find those third enemies are those shayateen from the insan, those people that perpetrate open misdeeds and open sins and are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are also our enemies. But we find the Mubarak month of Ramadan, its mercy, its awe, its reverence is so much that even that person who should openly sin out of the month of Ramadan, when the month of Ramadan dawns, we find that person also goes or very discreetly carries out his sins. He also does not have the audacity and the boldness to openly perpetrate or openly flout the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. So he also is weakened, and we find he also cannot become a means of mislaying, become a means of leading a person away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find also the evil environments are such places where the person frequents, even if he is a pious person, he is affected by those environments and he goes towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we find in the month of Ramadan, even the environment changes. Environment changes, that people around us who are not even Muslims become aware and conscious that this is the pious month, this is the Mubarak month, this is the blessed month of the Muslims. Even people who do not believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they become affected by the environment. And there are even some people that even fast. You may be surprised, there are some people who are not Muslims, but because of this environment of fasting in the month of Ramadan, they also keep fast. I know of one person who was staying very close to us, who used to fast in the month of Ramadan, though she was not a Muslim, but she used to fast. And ultimately Allah Ta'ala had given her tawfiq to accept Islam. So this is the power and strength of the environment also in the month of Ramadan. So all those things that could mislead us, take us away from the right path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this Mubarak month of Ramadan has made it such that we find the road is clear now. The road is clear now, and there's no obstruction between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very, very simple for a person to take those steps in the right direction and become the beloved of Allah, become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak month of ours has ordained upon us this fast. Fasting in the month of Ramadan has become compulsory upon us. Like the other compulsory actions, we find fasting is also compulsory and binding. Yet we find, if you look at the method, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed it, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, that it is very, very unique. Like the ibadat is unique, the way it was prescribed also is unique. When it came to salat and zakat, etc., it is mentioned, وَأَقِيمُوا السَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَتِمُّوا الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. That gives, establish the namaz, and give out your zakat, and go for hajj, complete the hajj and umrah. But when it came to fasting, then obviously this was a unique ibadat, completely different and unique from all the other ibadats. And this was something that will now be a change for a person from his day-to-day lives. From his day-to-day lives, the person will apprehend danger and hardships, and he will feel he may not be able to complete it. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, and addressed full with mercy and kindness, full with love and compassion, O you who believe. O you who believe, in other words, O you who have accepted my pledge and have remained steadfast on my pledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken a pledge from all of us in the world of the souls, that am I not your Lord? Alastu bi rabbikum, qalu bala. And all of us had mentioned bala, definitely, why not, indeed you are our Lord. After coming to this world, those people that believed had remained on this pledge, remained steadfast on this pledge. In other words, O you who have taken the pledge, from whom I have taken the pledge, and who are steadfast on the pledge. O you who have accepted me as your Lord, as your cherisher, as your cherisher, as your nourisher, and as your sustainer. O you who have believed in all the particles of faith, who have accepted the message of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. A very special address is made here. And this is such a special address that is mentioned that some Jews, they used to celebrate and be very pleased when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically addressed them. Here over 80 times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. People give the example like a person who calls out his son and says, Oh my beloved son, or Oh my beloved father. Instead of calling him by the name, calls him by the title. And we know that this title is such that it draws the love and affection of that person when he is addressed in this manner. O you who believe, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been prescribed upon you. Now obviously fasting, do we understand, is abstaining from eating and drinking, that which was absolutely permissible for the 11 months of the year. Any time in the day and night, it was permissible for us to participate in eating and drinking. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting is prescribed upon you, meaning you will have to abstain from this habit that you had throughout the year. This that you should participate in freely throughout the year, you will have to abstain from it because of my orders. This brings about apprehension and a fear that perhaps we may not be able to forbear or tolerate or withstand this difficulty and hardship here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prescribing for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately consoles us. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. This is not only unique with you, but this was prescribed to the people before you as well. And the historians mention that from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, right up to this ummah, we find that fasting was prescribed for the people before us. Though the details may differ, it was not only like 30 days of Ramadan, etc., but in principle, fasting was ordained on the people before us. This immediately gives us relief. Immediately gives us relief that this is such an action, such an ibadat, such an action of devotion that can be withstood by us. Why it was withstood? People had tolerated it and it was possible for them to carry it on. People right from inception, from the beginning. So for us also, it will be very, very easy and very, very simple. Another subtle message here is this. It is so integral and so important and so relevant that you cannot be deprived of the great rewards of this fast. It was prescribed for people before you and it's prescribed for you as well. In other words, we will not disadvantage you, but we will favor you as well with this great benefit of fasting and this great ibadat of fasting. And further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the wisdom of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become pious, and so that you may become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that you may practice self-restraint. Here the commentators mention that fasting is such an ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein a person is ever conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Whether it is in the beginning of the fast, whether it is in the middle of the day, or whether it is toward the ending of the fast, he is ever conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why he is not prepared to take a sip of water for all the wealth in the world. He is not prepared to partake of one morsel of food for all the wealth in the world. At any time of the day when he is fasting, he is not prepared to break his fast. Why? Because he is conscious that I am an act of ibadat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right from dawn, right up to dusk. I am here and I have to carry out this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every moment he is conscious. And this is what taqwa is all about, where a person becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever he is. In whatever state he is conscious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with him, also it gives him the power of self-restraint, where he does not act upon his desires and wishes, but he is conscious of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is in a state of fasting, obviously a person becomes thirsty, person becomes hungry, etc. And the nafs desires that he should drink water and eat food, etc. But he restrains his nafs. He restrains his nafs and he withholds himself in order to fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what taqwa is, that the person saves himself from evil and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he upholds the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has a great impact in creating this taqwa and creating this piety. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very easy formula has given us to create this great wealth of taqwa. And when there is taqwa in a person, then all areas of his life, all circumstances and all places in a person goes, he is mindful of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he abstains from those things that are forbidden by Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the power of taqwa. Apart from that, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many verses of the Holy Quran promises great reward for those people that have piety and that have this taqwa. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The person that has taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes for him a place of exit and releases him from all difficulties. When any difficulty and hardship that comes towards him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala releases him and makes a way out for him. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. It even becomes a means of barakat in his rozi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him sustenance from such places that he cannot even think about and cannot even fathom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him rozi and barakat, gives him barakat in his rozi. Through why? Through what quality? Because of taqwa and because of piety. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors that person that has the maximum amount of taqwa is the one that is most honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him an insight where he can discern between bad and good. We can discern between vice and virtue because of this taqwa. يَجْعَلَّهُ فُرْقَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the power or the criteria to distinguish between right and wrong and good and bad because of taqwa. And there are so many other rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, as mentioned in the Holy Quran regarding taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sin. وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him extra reward, great rewards for that person that has taqwa. So a person who carries out this fast in a proper manner, as is prescribed by Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just for 30 days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here, you will get piety and you will get taqwa. Further, as the further consolation for this ummah, and for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made fasting for us for 11 months of the year, for 10 months of the year, for 6 months of the year, could have made fasting for 24 hours of the day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so limited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَّامًا مَعْرُودَاتٍ. There's a fixed amount of days, a counted amount of days. These are the only days that you have to fast. And every person that fasts in the month of Ramadan, nearly every year we witness that the Ramadan is going so quickly. Only a few days left now. Ramadan took so many months to come, 6 months and 4 months and 3 months to come. But once Ramadan Sharif begins, we find very quickly those days go past. They are counted days, limited amount of days. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions further concession that if there is anyone from amongst you who does not have sound health, he is sick and he is ill, or a person is in journey and is travelling, فَمَنْ كَارَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوَلَا سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Though this Ramadan is filled with blessings and mercy, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and consideration for you is much more than if you are sick and if you are on a journey, then you don't have to fast in this month. فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. You can make up for the fast on some other days. On some other days you can make up for the fast if you are genuinely sick in such a manner that it aggravates your sickness, or by you fasting that manner, you will not be able to bear the fast, or you are in a journey, then you have this relaxation is given to you further as a concession and to make it easy for you. And thereafter, initially it was mentioned, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَ وَفِدَّةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ. Initially there was an option given to those people who even had the might and strength to fast, that they had the option of fasting or had the option of giving a ransom and feeding one person's meal. طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ, feeding one poor person, this was the option that they were given. But it is better, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that you fast. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَسُمْ. Here again, we find consensus in the ulama that whoever witnesses this month, then he should fast. In other words, that option that was there in the beginning, here we find that it's abrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this verse of the Holy Quran, that whomsoever is in a proper state of fasting and witnesses the month of Ramadan, then he should fast in this month of Ramadan. But that relaxation that was given previously for that person that is sick and that person that is traveling, that is repeated here again. So it should not be misunderstood that relaxation also is forfeited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is cancelled and abrogated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ كَارَ مَرِيدًا أَوَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. And those people that are traveling and those people that are sick, then some other days if they are unable to fast. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to create ease for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wish to create hardship for you. In every aspect of the fast, if you see, firstly, as I mentioned, the limitation of the fast. Secondly, the duration of the fast. Thirdly, if you see the seasons of the fasting, does not come that this year we are fasting in June and July, and next year we are fasting in December. Gradually we find we'll go into the summer months, and from the summer months gradually we'll come into the winter months. We find there's a whole lot of relaxation, a whole lot of ease and comfort here, because the object of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to cause hardship for you. Not to cause hardship for you. يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ اللَّهُ يُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for ease for you, for comfort for you. It can be done so easily for you. وَلِتُكْبِرُ الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you may fulfill this count and this number of days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed. وَلِتُكْبِرُ الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. And remember, this fasting is not from my doing and your doing. It is only through the mercy of Allah, through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can fast. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much and so extensive that even little children can carry out this fast. وَيُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So that you may glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hidayat and guidance that He has given you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Or so that you may be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here prescribes the fast in the month of Ramadan with so many concessions in such a manner that it becomes completely easy for the person and the follower of the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to carry out this fast. And what is there in lieu of this fast? A person leaves out fasting, يَدَعُ تَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ لِأَجْلِي. Allah Ta'ala says the person fasts and leaves out his eating and drinking because of me or because of my order. But if you examine and scrutinize closely and see that we leave out eating and drinking, but do we decrease our eating and drinking? This is the question for us to ponder and reflect upon. Does our eating and drinking decrease in this month, or does it increase in the month? I had quoted previously where one person had mentioned that even in a non-Muslim country, the person had mentioned, now that month has come, for the Muslims, where they eat more. That month of the Muslims had come, this was the observation of some people who are not Muslims. That month has come now, where the Muslims eat more than they normally eat. So in other words, we just adjust the times of our eating and drinking, but it is done because of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though quantity-wise we may be eating more. But here obviously there is not the object to eat more. Just mentioning what we find is rife in so many places. But what I mention here is, what I mean, wish to say here is, because of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not partake of food in the time which we normally partake of food. This is so much appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in one riwayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, in the hadith is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah ta'ala says that fasting is for me. Fasting is for me, and I will give the reward of fasting. The question arises here, every ibadat is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean that fasting is for me? Fasting is for me. Every ibadah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama-i kiram has mentioned various reasons here. Some say fasting is for me, meaning that in fasting a person resembles the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abstains from eating and drinking. He becomes unique, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not eat and drink at all. This person, for a limited period of time, he also abstains from eating and drinking, and he's also carrying out an action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He's doing something that Allah subhanahu has, the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, that abstention from eating and drinking. That is why it makes it so unique. Some say it's because he resembles the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not eat and drink because the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not eat and drink. That is why this fasting creates angelic qualities in a person. He abstains from sin, abstains from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some say fasting is for me, because over the period of time in history, there was no action. There was every type of action that was carried out for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like making sajda, making vows, etc. But nobody had fasted for anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the annals of history. Nobody had ever fasted and said, I am fasting, ma'azallah, for a certain idol, etc. This is unique for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say that in the akhirat, Allah Pak save us, if we do not pay the dues and rights of people here in this world, then they will claim amal from us. They will claim actions from us. And from among the actions, every action will be given. Salat will be given, zakat will be given, etc. But fasting will not be given in lieu of those misappropriation of the rights of others. This is so unique. This is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will remain such. It will remain with the person at all times. Some say because fasting is not something that is tangible and it has an outer form and where there can be show and ostentation, but fasting is something that is abstract. It is between a person and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. That is why here Allah ta'ala says, fasting is only for me. It cannot be for another person. In other words, it has no outer form. There's no outer show. Person can show it to somebody else, or there's any fear of ostentation or show here, like salat, zakat, etc. can have. Fasting does not have that. That is why it makes it so unique. Some say because fasting is a door to all the other ibadats. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَابٌ وَلِبَابُ الْإِبَادَةِ الصِّيَامِ وَبَابُ الْإِبَادَةِ الصِّيَامِ وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Everything has a door, and the door for ibadat is fasting. So that makes it very unique, and that makes it elevated. It gives it an elevated status from among the other aspects of ibadat. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is unique, and this is for me. And I will give its rewards. I will give the rewards of fasting. It's mentioned that the rewards for other action will be given by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reward for this action will be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And as we can well imagine, what will be the reward when it is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? Look at the majesty and greatness and glory of Allah. He himself will give the reward. Like in the worldly life, one is a rich person giving a reward. One is a king giving a reward. We know in proportion to the status that the person has, that will be the proportion of the reward that person will get. And we find in some riwayats is mentioned that I will become the reward. I will become the reward of that person that fasts for me. That has left out his eating and drinking for me, I will become his reward. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the reward of that person, then we can imagine his ecstasy and his joy and what great status he will have. That is why it is mentioned for the fasting person, there's two times, this saim farhatan, farhatun in the fitrihi wa farhatun in the liqai rabbihi, or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the person that's fasting, there's two times of happiness and pleasure and joy. One is at the time of iftar. Normally our mind goes towards the food. that in the time of iftar, because the food is in front of us and we are hungry, and obviously when a hungry person sees food, then it becomes obviously it's a time of joy for him, especially when it's permissible for him and joyous for him. But the author mentioned another reason also here, that is a fasting person is very happy at the time of iftar because he has accomplished one order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the fazl of Allah. He has completed one more fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it brings great joy in his heart. And the other joy will be when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sees the great reward that is in store for him. Inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.